The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. Three jumpers on Thursday afternoon, Ayr, Huntingdon and Sedgefield. We'll finish today with an all-weather fixture at Wolverhampton in the evening. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Hello, Mark. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Right. We're going to look at three races on Thursday, obviously. But before we do, we'll just have a little bit of a chat. Yeah. It's going to be about Cheltenham because we're less than 3 weeks away now, and it's.
I know.
After talking about it for quite a long time, I quite expected it to drag on a little bit. But then on Tuesday, I was like, "Blimey, it's 3 weeks away!"
Yeah,
it did kind of sneak up on me.
Yeah, it does. I mean, obviously, we've still got sort of one day that I think will probably have an impact on in terms of. Sort of runners and horses that are going to contest Cheltenham races with Kempton at the weekend. Five of the last 13 winners of the Triumph Hurdle won the Adonis. Obviously, that's on Saturday. And they've also got the Dovecot, the Pendle, all good novice races.
Yeah.
And obviously, the race that's now known as the Betbright Chase, formerly Racing Post Chase, of course. And formerly Coventry Chase. That was its first name back in the day. But anyway, they're interesting races, obviously, to come at the weekend. But otherwise, I think, apart from those couple of races, which will have a little bit of a sway, I think we're just about ready, aren't we, now, pretty much, in terms of horses and preparations.
Yeah.
You know, majority, I'd say probably 90% have had their last run, and now it's just ticking them over to the 1:30 on the Tuesday.
Yes, it's a weekend where we'll learn a little bit more about a few of the novices, maybe. Mm. But as far as the championship races are concerned,
yeah, we know the crack, don't we?
With them.
Except Annie Power.
Yes,
so she's the only one really. All the others, all the others. You know what they're going to go for, unless there's, you know, most people have said, for example, Q Card, he's going to run in the Gold Cup unless it's really really soft,
yeah.
And we'll run him in the Ryanair. Where with Annie Power, we just do not know.
We have a market on the site if you just want to back Annie Power, if you're confident that she'll win whichever race she goes to.
Yeah, which there are some people out there, and I can understand why.
11-4 for her to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival.
Mm. Yeah, which is, if you do fancy and you really want to do get involved, she's about 9-4 with us for the World Hurdle at the moment.
Yeah.
Just behind Big Bucks.
3-1.
3-1 is she. That's bigger than I thought, actually. She's 3-1, and then obviously she's quoted in the Champion Hurdle as well. As 3-1 is bigger, and she's going to be, I think she's bigger than that in the Champion.
Yeah, she's 8-1 for the Champion.
I'd probably wait because it's just a bit bigger than 11-4. Although I would imagine, I wouldn't be surprised once they confirm her for which race
she's
going to go for.
Shorten,
she's going to shorten, I suppose, yeah. Depending on which race it is. I don't think she'll shorten all that much for the Champion Hurdle.
No, but if she runs in the World Hurdle, I don't see her being 3-1.
No, I don't either. And personally, I think that's the more likely target. Well, not the likely target, because I honestly don't know what they're thinking. But if she was mine, that's what she'd run in.
I think she will end up in the World Hurdle,
yeah.
Personally. I just can't see them going to the Champion Hurdle knowing that Ruby Walsh isn't going to get off Hurricane Fly and then having to have a jockey on that's never ridden her before. You'd want Ruby Walsh on. Go to the World Hurdle.
Well, you can ride her.
And he knows all about Big Bucks.
Big Bucks, exactly. Yes, that all very good points and all ones I agree with. But on adjusted ratings issued by Timeform, she's the best horse in the race, in the Champion. Highest rated, shall we say. So, I mean, mares have got a tremendous record in the World Hurdle as well. You know, obviously, Vola de la Vedette ran very well in the race. There's been several winners in recent years, including Shularai and Rose Ravine and mares like that. So they've got a decent record, but I honestly don't know. Honestly, like, if I was viewing it, I would view it the same as you. I'd think, well, Ruby knows all about Big Bucks, and he's the only horse she has got to beat in the World Hurdle. Where in the Champion, there's like four or five others. And as you say, Ruby's not going to get off Hurricane Fly. So that's where I would run her. But
I like, let's talk about the World Hurdle then in a little bit more detail. Big Bucks 7-4, Annie Power 3-1, 5-1 for Art Fisher's Cross. More of that. Sixes. Quavega is 8-1. Rule the World is also 8-1. Zarkander 10s. Celestial Halo 14s, and then 16-1 or bigger prices. The rest. Quavega's not going to run in the race.
No.
AP McCoy hasn't decided between At Fisher's Cross and More of That yet.
I'd ride More of That, I think, if I had the choice.
He hasn't had many runs, has he? I mean,
he hasn't had many runs, but that's what would lull mean to riding him, I think, because...
He could be.
He could be.
But he might not be.
He could be, yeah. But
at least you kind of know where you stand with At Fisher's Cross.
Yeah, that he ain't going to win.
Yeah. So yeah, fair enough.
You know, so you've got the choice of riding a horse that isn't good enough on the form that we've seen from him this season, or a horse that might be good enough because we just don't know.
Mm.
And I think... I would take the risk of hoping that more of that can get involved, but even still, he's gonna have to improve a fair bit to challenge the top two if Annie Power runs as well. Rule the World isn't good enough.
Zarkander's not good enough for me.
Well, I don't think he's good. Well, I don't know. In terms of ability, I think he might be good enough. Because he's a very, very talented horse. I mean, the fact that, you know, he just got touched up for over 2 miles at Wincanton at the weekend. I know it's by Melodic Rendezvous, but it's not that bad when you look at Melodic Rendezvous's record and over a trip that's too short for him these days. He's obviously been beaten by Annie Power, conceding a bit of weight to her. And in theory, if Annie Power doesn't run, then, you know, Zarkander might not be a bad each way bet at 10-1.
Yeah.
He's got a very good record on the new course at Cheltenham, which obviously the World Hurdles run on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he probably will stay if the ground is sort of good to, if, as long as it's not bottomless, basically. And out of those at the top of the market, obviously we don't know about Annie Power. At Fisher's Cross isn't good enough. Rule the World isn't good enough. I wouldn't back more of that because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to Zarkander, I think at 10-1, good record at the course. Seems to be crying out for a step up in trip.
Yeah.
I might chance him at 10s each way.
Worse each way bets, I suppose. But
yeah.
I think Big Bucks is a ridiculous price at 7-4.
Mm.
I think if he's anywhere near the same horse he was, and his reappearance was perfectly satisfactory, they've ridden him like that on purpose to tee him up perfectly for March.
To blow away the cobwebs.
Yeah.
They didn't ride him to win. They rode him to get him ready for...
It's pointless him cruising around at the back and then just quickening up to win, because he's not going to come on for that, really, is he?
No.
There's no way that Sam Twiston Davis, on his first ride on Big Bucks, is going to kick to the front on his own decision.
Yeah.
it was the plan.
Yeah, exactly. Two out with a very long running. He's not that stupid.
No. And to get 7-4 about a horse that's ridiculously good at it.
And got an outstanding record. Not only because obviously he's won 4 World Hurdles, but his other record at Cheltenham is very good.
Mm.
I think he's won over hurdles on the new course 7 times, at least, because he's won the Cleeve twice, 4 World Hurdles, and he's won a handicap hurdle as well over 3 miles. So, he's definitely the one to beat. If Annie Power does... He will, for me, he will win. The only one who can beat him is Annie Power.
Yeah.
She's the only one who can beat him, I think, personally. And if she doesn't run, then it's a race for second.
Yeah, and put it this way, if Big Bucks had won the Cleeve Hurdle, he wouldn't be 7-4 now.
No, he'd be 4-7.
Yeah, and they've ridden him like that on purpose. He's not been beaten far.
No.
And the only difference is he's got a 3 next to his name instead of a 1. The run was perfect to team up for Cheltenham.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't... I don't think, in my view, they weren't interested in winning the Cleeve Hurdle. They were interested in giving him a good test to see if he was, you know, still the same horse and still the sort of...
If he wasn't the same horse, he'd have cried enough long before he did. And he'd have been tailed... Well, he'd have been further back than he was.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think I know you say he's obviously he's the one to beat. I think he will win. Annie Power's the only one that can beat him, and if she doesn't run, he will win.
Okay. I'm gonna back him at 7-4. I think I am. I think that's my festival nap. No, I think it is.
Well done, Mark.
Cheers. The Champion Hurdle is another race that's warming up to be a ridiculously good race. I mean, if you can't get excited about this year's Champion Hurdle, then well, stop watching racing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because it's just different class.
Your racing heart must not be beating if you don't like this race.
Hurricane Fly, the 11-4 favourite. The new one, 3-1. My 10 tell yours is 4s. Our Connor, 9-2. 8-1 for Annie Power. Jeski 10s. Under Sue is 14-1 and 25-1 for Melodic Rendezvous. 66-1 our bigger price as the rest. Unless it's bottomless ground, I can't see Melodic Rendezvous getting involved. Annie Power might not go to the race. Jeski's not good enough for me. Under Sue's probably not going to go to the festival.
Yeah.
So that leaves you with Hurricane Fly, the new one, My Tent Ayors, and Our Connor. How do you pick from them?
Well, I think Hurricane
Fly... That's just my opinion.
Out of those four... No, I agree entirely. Out of those four, Hurricane Fly is the least likely to win. Out of those top four.
Okay.
I think. In three runs at Cheltenham, including two wins in the Champion Hurdle, none of those have been his best form.
Yep.
He's never ever shown his best form at Cheltenham, despite the fact he's won two Champion Hurdles. And as this is the best Champion Hurdle he's running, I think he's the least likely of the four to win.
Okay.
Well, it's close between him and My Tent or Yours, actually. But I do think My Tent or Yours is a good horse, but I just don't really like him very much.
Okay. And the fact that a slow pace has been blamed for his defeat in the race in the past.
Hurricane Fly, yeah, when he was third.
He's not necessarily going
to
get...
To be fair, it wasn't 100% that day, but that contributed to his defeat. And judging on and looking at the entries and what certain things have been said, there's going to be no pacemaker in there. So I don't think it's going to be a flat-out gallop.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, one, you know, they run a rag who's like 66-1 and that one just goes off for a bit of glory.
Mm.
You know, for a bit. But even then, I'd be surprised if they...
Would they run 1,000 stars in the race to do something like that, just to give Hurricane Fly pace to him?
Well, he kind of did that for him, didn't he, at Leopardstown, but... Yeah, I suppose it's feasible, but even then, I don't think it would be really quick.
No.
Generous, you know, at the very most. The pace angle worries me for Hurricane Fly a little, but not massively, because he has got tactical adaptness.
Yeah.
But I just, this is his fourth run at the Cheltenham Festival, and in three previous runs, as I said, he's not shown his best form at Cheltenham. I know he's won, and it sounds bizarre to say that, but in winning, he won because he was the best horse, but it wasn't his best form.
Yeah.
And he's got to show his best form in the fourth run in the race, in the best one he's contested. And for me, something just doesn't sit right.
Okay.
My Tent or Yours, he was obviously quite impressive at Kempton the weekend. I know it was a jumper's bumper or whatever, but the time was ridiculously quick. Ridiculously quick. Apparently, it was quicker than four of the last five Queen's Prizes, which is the best race over 2 miles that's run on the flat at Kempton. It's a Class 2 handicap, so which is pretty good.
Forget the Champion Hurdle. Send him on the flat.
Yeah, he wins the Chester Cup. He wins the Sarovich, bolts up.
Yeah.
But obviously, you look at the way he ran around Kempton. He was keen, and he can't. And if there is not much pace in the Champion Hurdle,
but he had so much left at the end, though.
Because there was nothing. Yeah, but there was nothing near him.
Yeah.
You look at the Supreme. He battled on well, but for me, in a battle up the hill, him and something else, he'll always get out battled. Especially if it's the new one who stays further, especially if it's our Connor, who won 2 mile one in the Triumph, which is a more demanding test than 2 miles on the old course. And especially Hurricane Fly as well, who's won over further. So I think he'll run well, and I think he'll be there. But I can see him, you know, if there's four in a line jumping the last, he will be one of them. But I don't think he'll get up the hill as well as one or two others. And then that leaves us with our Connor in the new one.
Mm.
I mean, the new one is the most likely winner for me.
I'm just not sure he jumps well enough. There are a few question marks every now and again. I mean, in the Christmas Hurdle, he made a mess of the last.
Yeah, he did make... Yeah, he did. And it did cost him the race, I agree. But he picked up and stayed on well again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't overly concern me that much. Obviously, if he makes a mistake at the last and that costs him the race, then fair enough. But that concerns me less than the other couple of horses and the reasons why.
Okay.
And Connor, I can't make my mind up. I think he's either going to run really well or really badly.
Yeah, I think he'll run.
But right. I think, I'm erring more towards the side of really well, based on my thoughts of Hurricane Fly and my tint or yours.
Yeah, there was a time in that race over Christmas at Leopardstown where if our Connor had just gone upside to Hurricane Fly and really eyeballed him and really attacked him, I think it might have been it would have asked questions of Hurricane Fly that were never asked.
He travelled both these races at Leopardstown season. He's travelled so well.
He should be spot on after a couple of runs over hurdles.
And Desi Hughes, you know, he's trained a dual champion hurdle winner in Hardy Eustace. And he's ridden. He's ridden a dual champion hurdle winner as well. So he knows what he's doing. And
do you think the tactics will be slightly different with O'Connor? Do you think they'll say we won the triumph by being prominent and kicking? As they came off the bend, do you think he'll do something similar this year?
Yeah, but the problem is when you kick off the bend in the new on the new course, he's still probably 2 furlongs from home. Mm. If you do it on the old course, it's significantly less, and you haven't got such a long run to the last.
That was in bad ground, though.
It wasn't great ground, was it? I do think he'll be prominent. I just don't know.
That's the problem with the champion hurdle. 4 very, very good horses.
The form
they've all got.
Yeah, the form of the triumph is good as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I had to split them into two camps, the most likely winners for me are the new one and O'Connor, and the least likely to win out of the two are My Turn or Yours and Hurricane Fly.
Okay.
You know what's going to happen then.
Hurricane Fly will lead home My Turn or Yours.
Yeah. And the new one will make a mistake at the last and Akon will be held up at the back. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you just to fully
ruin your scenario.
Andy Power's going to beat them all.
My Turn or Yours will end up out battling Hurricane Fly just to prove your point.
Yeah. If you pin me down to choose the winner, it would be the new one.
Yeah. And the more I think about it now, I said earlier on that I think Annie Power should go to the world hurdle. Now I'm thinking maybe she should
now
just go
just
to the champion.
Now I've just exposed all the flaws of the those in the.
Yeah, good luck, William Mullins. Yeah, nice decisions I have to make, though.
So basically, after all that, the new one's going to be the champion and Big Bucks will win the world hurdle.
Yeah. I agree with the second part.
Who do you think will win the champion hurdle?
I think O'Connor wins.
Do you?
I don't know if it's just out of blind loyalty from last year as well.
Yeah, maybe.
But. I think he's got a very good chance if they actually attack the race and go.
The one thing that's going to be wheeled out between now and then is obviously 5-year-olds haven't got a very good record in the champion hurdle. Yeah. There's only been 1 5-year-old that's won since the 80s, which was Catch It. But that proves it can be done.
Mm. And Catch It was only a few years ago.
The thing is, though, if you wheel out the 5-year-old stat against O'Connor, you've got to wheel out the 10-year-old stat against Hurricane Fly. Only 2 other 10-year-olds have ever won it. And they were both outstanding, which he is, by the way. He's an outstanding hurdler. They were outstanding hurdlers in Sea Pigeon and Hatton's Grace, or was it National Spirit? I think it was Hatton's Grace. Something in like the late 40s, early 50s. So
good. So we didn't clear anything up there. But,
no, not really.
Let's move on to...
You've just wasted 15 minutes of your time.
It was a good chat. I enjoyed it. Just don't know what to think afterwards.
Yeah.
Thursday's racing. We must move on. We're going to look at 3 races, two from Huntingdon and 1 from Ayr. And the first of them is the 240 at Huntingdon, which is a handicap chase for the John Big Oxo Memorial Trophy. It's a Class 4 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. And shall we start here with Trojan Sun, who won over course and distance last time, Stevie?
Yes, Mark. Both his wins over fences have been here at Huntingdon, incidentally, including that one, as you say, last time out when he just beat Craiglands by length and 3/4. He was all out to win that day, and his form, he's consistent. He generally runs good races. He's been nudged up £4 for that win, and that puts him off a career high mark now. And this is a harder race as well. It pushes him into a different grade. That win last time was in a 0-110 off top weight. Now he's into a 0-115, I think. So it's not going to be easy for him, just nudging up a grade and running off a mark, which would seemingly probably you'd have thought was just beyond him before he won last time out. So I think he'll run well, but I don't think he'll win.
Okay. Who do you think will win then? Who are you taking him on with?
Well, that's an interesting question, really. We'll look at one or two of the others before I give you a definite answer. Number one, Gentle Bob, ran really well for a long way after a long absence at Warwick last time, was up there throughout, still challenging 3 out when he made a bad mistake. And to be fair, we're still there 2 out and then weakened after. So that'll have blown away the cobwebs. He's been off 4 weeks, plenty of time to recover, and the Tom George yard are going slightly better now. And he's still only had 12 runs at the age of 9. So I think he might run well. Hollow Blue Sky, he went off a mark of 100 after a long absence at Carlisle, and he's just been falling short since then, off sort of 107. He's off 109 today, which he also got beat off last time. Just saying that it's a bit tough for him, and he was behind Trojan Sun last time out as well, in fairness. Mm-hmm. And although Hollow Blue Sky's got to pull up the weights, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Trojan Sun confirms the form. And then the other one that's interesting is number 6, Lord of the Dunes. Only had 2 starts over fences, tailed off on the first of them, but really improved on that when second at Taunton last time out. And obviously only 6. The concern would be that his only career win was on good to firm ground. He's ran on heavy a lot and always seems to just look a bit slow, which is obviously, he's made to look like that because of the ground. I think he goes on it, but he doesn't particularly want it. And so that obviously puts me off because it's pretty soft at Huntingdon. So I think I'm going to side with Gentle Bob. I was quite taken with his run after a long absence, and he ended before his absence on an upward sort of profile. And having only had the 12 runs, I think this still could be a little bit more to come from him. So I'd take him to win.
Okay, Gentle Bob then in the 240. Moving on to the 340 next. This is the Sydney Banks Memorial Novices Hurdle. It's a listed race over 2.5 miles, and we've got a couple of unexposed ones in the shape of Carrigmore and Moss Park. Adding to the mix, Shass and Murr and Spirit of Shankly, who arrive in decent form, and then Chase the Spud completing the lineup. It's quite a tricky race to call.
It is, although I'll dive straight in and say Chase the Spud and Shass and Murr aren't good enough to win, I don't think. So they need to improve significantly. So I'll put a line straight through those two. Leaves us with Spirit of Shankly, Carrigmore and Moss Park. Spirit of Shankly's second to Royal Regatta and defeat of Urban Hymn earlier on in the season. He's quite good form for Charlie Longstone. He was then fourth in the Lanzarote behind Sapphire de Rur. And I backed him that day in the Lanzarote, and he was tailed off turning into the straight, and then literally just charged home from a mile back to grab fourth, which is annoying because there was 23 places back to midway, but it sort of caught the eye. Then he ran in, obviously, a jumper's bumper, which, you know, was all right, but I don't think you can really read a great deal into that other than, you know, his well-being, basically. Conceding weight, I think it will be tricky for him, but he's definitely the one who's got the best form, Spirit of Shankly. Carrigmore absolutely bolted up, like, really was impressive when he won by 25 lengths at Uttoxeter on his hurdling debut for Alan King. He was turned over at 1-8 at Ascot next time, but his jumping was a little bit novicey towards the end. It was quite a bad mistake, 3 out, I think, if I remember correctly.
Do you think that was just him getting tired? That was over 2.75 miles, wasn't it?
I wouldn't say tired, but I think that probably was a factor in the end, because after that mistake, he recovered and sort of ran on again, but only at one pace. So I think the slight drop in trip will suit. Obviously, been off for a couple of months, but the Alan King horses have been running well despite their absence. And I think we're going to see a better run from him. And I think, obviously, Alan King's not been deterred by that defeat. I mean, there's the possibility that, you know, he might have just, you know, pulled a muscle or something when he made that bad mistake. And then we've got Moss Park, whose form is good. I mean, his point-to-point run was decent 18 months ago. He was second to Anna Cotty, who was obviously a fair horse now. Won at Exeter and Leicester in novice hurdles. Still green, I think, in both of them. He's been off for a couple of months. And obviously really falls into that could-be-anything category.
Yeah.
So it's tough. And I do think either he or Carrigmore will beat Spirit of Shankly. I'm going to side, I think, just with Carrigmore. I just think, you know, something about the Ascot run wasn't right. It just doesn't tally with his Uttoxeter run. And he's obviously been off. King horses are running well. I'm prepared to forgive him that run at Ascot, I think, and I think he might win. Moss Park, I've got no real strong view on him. His form's not that... The horses he's been beating isn't amazing, but he's been doing it well. So sort of falls into a bit of a grey area for me. So I do like Spirit of Shankly, but to concede weight against a couple of horses who are only had the, you know, 2 or 3 runs, whilst he's, you know, he's got the best form, he might be vulnerable. Hopefully to Carrigmore.
Okay. Moving on to the third race we're going to look at, and this is the 450 at Ayr, and this is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles, and Final Assault is likely to be fairly popular. Won over course and distance last time on heavy ground, and absolutely bolted up on that occasion. Up in grade this afternoon, Stephen, but... Yeah. Yeah, he should be capable of at least mixing it with these, shouldn't he?
He should be, yeah. I mean, that was a maiden hurdle. He won by 10 lengths. He's been as improved with every start, Final Assault, when you look at his form figures and when you actually look through it for his form as well. And I do think he's probably, you know, he's going to be tricky to beat here back at this venue. It's quite a good race. I mean, all of them you could make a case for if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Trucking Along is thrice winner at Ayr, including twice over course and distance, but he's £10 higher than for his win in January at this venue. And he's conceding... more than a stone to the other five runners. Storm and Exit won a seller at Musselburgh over hurdles. Stayed on really well over fences last time, but at the age of 11, too hit and miss really for him to sort of warrant a reliable case, basically. Akdam improved for the step up in trip, I thought, at Fakenham last time, so the drop back doesn't really... do a lot for me. Another Matty has been consistent, but has been beaten in races that are slightly weaker than this.
Yeah.
And then Great Link at the bottom. It's one of his last two starts, one on the flat and one in a novice claimer at Ludlow. But his two wins over hurdles, the one at Ludlow and one in France, were both on quick ground. So I'd be, you know, not convinced on the decent ground. And so that leaves you with Final Assault.
Okay. So, Final Assault then.
Yep.
In the last race we look at, the 450, let's just have a quick summary, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Yeah, we'll go in the 240 at Huntingdon with Gentle Bob, the 340 at Huntingdon with Carrigmore, and the 450 at Ayr with Final Assault.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Cheers,
enjoy
Mark.
It on Thursday.
Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater will be your team in the studio. We have Ayr, Huntingdon and Sedgefield in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Wolverhampton in the evening. Four meetings to look forward to then. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.